From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Well, consumers and farmers are often confused on how milk and other dairy products are priced. Today's topic is Federal Milk Marketing Orders, or FMMOs. These are regulations established by the U.S. Department of Agriculture under the Agricultural Marketing Agreement Act of 1937. These orders set provisions on how dairy processors purchase fresh milk from dairy farmers within specific geographic marketing areas. Correspondent John Clark files this report on milk marketing and its history.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA. And today I am very fortunate to have with us Professor Chris Wolf of Cornell College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. He is the E.V. Baker Professor of Agricultural Economics and just a great resource for milk marketing. Welcome, Professor Wolf.
Thanks for having me, John.
Hey, a lot of stuff going on. I think you'd have to agree that right now is one of the most dynamic times in milk marketing. A lot of stuff happening. It's a fluid situation, right?
No pun intended, huh? Yeah. Well, yeah, we had the, you know, the first kind of the first reform of the federal milk marketing orders that we've had that was national in scope since 2008. And by far the biggest amount of adjustments that have been made to the federal milk marketing orders are going into effect this year since the year 2000. So an entire generation.
That's really interesting. And just a couple of things historically, how this came to be about, what the process was, if you can just touch on that a little bit. And also the fact that it's the first one since we've had some new tools to implement, right?
Yeah, that's true, right? So so the way it works with federal milk marketing orders is that in order there, it goes through a hearing process where the Secretary of Agriculture has to agree to have a hearing. Now, in the past, let's be clear, individual orders might have a hearing about an issue that just applies to that order. So Federal Order 1 here in the Northeast has certainly had many hearings over the years about maybe adjusting something with qualification standards or something for the order. But this was one that was national in scope, and it was really about pricing. So there were five kind of different areas that were eventually recommended the change and then voted on and put in for the change. But it was a long process. It took a while kind of for everybody to get their ducks in a row and get the hearing called, and for the Secretary of Ag under the previous administration to put that hearing into process. We started with testimony in August of 2023. We didn't finish the testimony until the end of January of 2024. The recommendation came out last summer. And then there were some haggling and some comments on it. Then it was November by the time they brought out the final recommendation. The vote happened at the beginning of this year, the end of 2024, beginning of 2025. And the changes are being implemented. Some are going into effect here in the middle of the year in July, and some are going into effect at the end of the year in December. And really, if you think about it, in the last 25 years, we've seen a whole lot of changes in the industry, but two of the big ones that came into account in this set of hearings was, one, 25 years ago, we had futures and options for dairy products, but they weren't widely used, and we didn't have the Dairy Revenue Protection Program, we didn't have, you know, pasture rangeland forage, we didn't have the LGM dairy program, and we, you know, things of that nature. So that risk management is much more common now than it used to be. And that matters when we're making changes to the underlying price instruments. The other thing that's changed is we were not net exporters 25 years ago, and now we are. And now, you know, roughly one day of milk a week equivalent gets exported, and we're in the international markets. And that also matters for when we make these changes.
I don't want to belabor the point, but just historically, were the processing side and the farmer side requesting this update for different reasons of the federal milk marketing order?
Yeah. I mean, there were some reasons in common, although they wouldn't necessarily have said that they wanted to see the same outcome, but definitely both the processors had some issues with the make allowances that they thought needed to be adjusted to reflect the processing cost, and the the co-ops and some of those groups wanted to see more changes like on the class one differentials, and go back to the higher up, things of that nature.
That's great information to have. Let's talk about who had a seat at that table. Who were the really active parties there? Two or three parties that you cited had were active at the table in the public discussion.
Yeah, so that's that, so National Milk Producers, which is the Federation of Co-ops, which is most of the co-ops and most of the milk in the United States, kind of representing the farm side, but also cognizant that they have a balancing role through their processing capacities. And so that's important. So National Milk Producers was there kind of throughout the whole process and drove a lot of what happened. But also International Dairy Foods Association, which is the group of processors. Was there. And then there also were some other groups that were involved, like the Milk Innovation Group, that was kind of more interested in some of the fluid issues and some of the organic issues. And then, anybody that wants could have participated. And a lot of people were in and out. And it was really interesting. And actually, not that anybody would necessarily do this, but there's a massive set of documents that were made from the transcripts, which is thousands and thousands of pages long, if anybody was interested to dig in on that.
And probably there were not many surprises based upon who was giving the testimony. Probably stayed right on their points as for the most part.
I gave some testimony one day, and I have to and my testimony was not pro or con, because I see my job as education and not really to advocate, because almost any change that you're talking about, there's going to be winners and losers. There tends to be trade-offs. If there's no trade-offs, then this is kind of a trivial decision. But I will tell you that when I did testify, I was kind of surprised at where the questioning went, because the way it works is you give a statement, and then anybody that wants that's there can question you. So that was an interesting experience, and I'm glad I got it.
Chris Wolf, the E.V. Baker Professor of Agricultural e Economics at Cornell University. Thanks for being with us today. It's great to have you here.
Hey, John, thanks for having me.
I'm John Clark, traveling the countryside for FeedWorks USA.
Thank you, John, for that report. Milk marketing and federal milk marketing orders, a very complex topic. And thank you, John, for helping to shed some light on that topic. Just enough time this weekend for our pearl of wisdom. This was once said by Dale Carnegie. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most of them do. That's your pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.